come into your homes to tell you of something that's happening in our country.
Steve-O and Teo in the AM present Shock Therapy Live.
I speak of the greatest offender of all.
Featuring Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Awesome. And now.
Here we go.
Email your questions now to studio at star88.fm.
Good morning. Welcome to the all-new Shock Therapy Live.
I don't know why I did that sound.
Steve Oteo and Pastor Nate Heitzig joining you.
Dude, I still...
Hang out with us.
I still, in my mind, think that I'm going to hear, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Yeah.
And then I don't hear that.
Yeah.
And then I just hear Fall Out Boy.
Yeah. You know, you need to...
Which do you prefer?
I don't know.
You like the new.
I like that.
You like the new.
I was so used to that Switchfoot song.
Yeah.
What song was that again, though? I forget.
The Sound.
This is the sound.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's how John Foreman sings it. He just has a lot of effects on his voice.
This is the sound.
But like in the actual studio, this is the sound.
that's pretty cool.
And then the vocal effects and the auto-tune makes it all like, this is the sound. But then that still sounds poopy. So then they put more vocal effects on it, and finally it sounds good. So basically I could be John Foreman.
Oh.
We are the all-new Star 88. There's no use living in the past, Nate. The future is now, and it's Star 88.
Star.
I guess that makes sense, because the future and stars and like
what if
crazy
we changed
stuff.
The name of this show from Shock Therapy Lab to Star 80 Nate?
That's strange.
Is that not a good idea?
I'm not sure about that.
I think it would be. It rhymes. It rhymes.
It kind of does. Speaking of stars.
What if we, I think we should change the name of this show to The Black Hole.
Oh, The Black Hole?
The Black Hole.
No,
oh,
that's
okay.
Like a succubus.
It goes
it's
with
like
star stuff, though.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, it goes
I
with
get
the whole
that.
Star 88.
Yeah, okay. If you're just tuning in for the first time to Shock Therapy Live, it's our one-hour call-in show focused on you, what you're going through in your life, in a relationship, in the workplace, wherever it may be. Maybe there's a complication, something's gone awry. Maybe you just totally screwed up in some major way and you're wondering if God can ever forgive you. Maybe you just need advice.
USSR space program, that's what we should call it.
I like it.
Man.
Enterprise.
Yeah. We are here for you.
USSR.
You just gotta give us a call. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. We also understand that it's a sometimes very sensitive subject matter. So one, we would like to let you know, this is definitely called Shock Therapy Live. If you got young ones listening, probably not for the little ones.
Yeah.
Secondly, if maybe it's something that you've never confessed, something that you've just been stewing in your heart, you don't know what to do with, you know you need to talk to somebody, you don't necessarily want to make it public yet, email us. We will respect your privacy. We will not break that.
And I want to say this too. This show isn't just for people who are going through crap.
Right.
Maybe you just have a question about something you saw in the news. Like, hey, you know, marijuana is going legal in Colorado. What do you guys think about that?
Right.
Or, hey, I read this news article about this. What's your take on that?
Absolutely.
You know, this isn't just like a my life sucks, what do I do about it kind of a show.
Yeah.
We just want to talk to you about real stuff. So want to be real. We hope that you'll be real with us. You know, we just are kind of ourselves on this show, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
Hopefully you won't divorce us.
Right.
But this is the USSR space program. We send chimps into space. So
that
we're real.
That is not the new name of the show.
Well, that's
I think
what
that
I'm calling
be
it.
I'm
that's
with
I'm
Nate. I'm with him, man. I'm USSR space program.
Prepare yourselves for a USSR space program.
Black hole.
You know when would it be?
Ooh,
been a
I like that.
Yeah.
Can we, and then we
show?
Can no, and then we can have Supermassive Black Hole by Muse as our theme music.
Oh my gosh. Amazing.
This is getting better and better, guys. This
Welcome.
Is it.
And we can have Shiny Vampires playing baseball in the studio with us.
Yes! Speaking of space, if you missed it, this last Monday, I believe, we posted this to our Facebook page, facebook.com/star88fm. A couple astronauts were fixing something on the International Space Station, and he put a GoPro on his helmet, and the footage is mind-blowing.
It's out of this world.
That's how they got gravity.
I gotta go. I'll see you guys later. I'm out.
You missed that one, is what happened. You missed it.
That was terrible.
It was great.
Every now and then, like, I'm like, oh man, I'm doing something really cool. I should put a GoPro on. And then I use a GoPro, and I realize what I was doing wasn't that cool.
Right?
And I look at the footage, and I'm like,
oh,
man, my life just isn't as exciting as I imagine it in my head.
Guys, I was getting some sweet jumps snowboarding. I got at least 6 inches of air.
It's just, I like to do this thing I call extreme walking. It's just walking around doing stunts. And I thought that would be cool for GoPro, but apparently I just look like an idiot walking around.
It is.
Well, what I wanted to do is we were just at Glorietta for the Passion
Retreat. Yeah.
And we played Extreme Airsoft because like 75% of Glorietta right now is boarded up buildings,
which
makes for a fantastic airsoft
course.
Yeah,
that sounds like zombie apocalypse waiting to happen.
So we were playing like in the pitch black darkness, and up there, there are no lights. Yeah. So the darkness is like oppressive where you feel like it's like crushing you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were going to these abandoned buildings
like going
in and out of these rooms where there's like broken glass and like holes in the wall, and you can crawl through the wall. You seriously think you're going to get murdered while you're there.
Two things.
But it was fantastic. And we were running around shooting each other. And I was thinking then, I was like, man, this would be fun to have a GoPro. Imagine having like a GoPro with like night vision for nighttime airsoft. And like
that
you come around the corner and someone pops out, bam, 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 bam. That'd be fun to have.
That'd be like real life Call of Duty, sort of.
You guys get to do all
bullets.
The cool stuff.
And that is actually the army, is real life Call of Duty.
That's what we were talking about. We were like, because we were playing Two Shots, You're Out. And we're like, imagine if this was real life. Ooh. It's not like Two Shots, You're Out. It's like, you better not get shot.
Yeah, don't get shot.
Different game.
Yeah, so in life it's just called don't get shot.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, we went and bought guns at Walmart, and the lady was like, man, you guys, what are you guys going to shoot with these? And we're like, each other? She's like, you guys are crazy. And I was like, well, it's better than our last game, which was called Bulletproof Vest.
Oh,
it's a lot safer than that game.
What are you guys going to shoot with these? Each other? We've got a price check on aisle four, security.
Yeah, we need to talk to these guys. Phone lines
are open.
What if
we're like, we're going to go sneak up on our wives and shoot them?
505-338-3700.
What a
Janae. Past airsoft guns.
In good studio.
That's awesome.
Taking your calls.
Yeah, we got a phone call.
Yeah, we want to hang out with you. 505-338-3700. Are you guys ready? I'm focusing us in. Here we go. Shock Therapy Live. Hello.
Hey, it's Creepy Caleb.
Hey, Creepy.
That's a strange name.
Creepy Caleb. He was an intern here once.
Oh.
Yeah. And then he went on to college, and now he's got like creepy voice.
So. Creepy voice.
There you go.
Do you have a mustache?
No,
not yet.
That top off the creepiness.
So what's going on?
And Birkenstocks.
Man?
Well, a lot of my friends going like through college age and everything. Everybody graduating high school and everything. There's a lot of change going on, and just a lot of young Christians sort of fall away around that time.
Right.
And I've seen just a lot of my friends from school, and just a lot of my friends from church even, just really compromising their beliefs and their morals and everything. And just, if you talk to them, they probably wouldn't say that they're walking away. Not all of them, at least. But, there isn't much to say that they aren't either. Like just a ton of substance abuse, drugs, alcohol, I don't know as far as like anything sexual or anything like that, obviously, but just a ton of stuff like that. And I know that they're really angry at us for not like supporting them in this, I guess. One of my friends like started a band with like a whole bunch of people that were very obviously anti-religion and anti-Christian, and I was just sort of questioning like why they were doing all this, and they got really defensive and everything. And I just want to know how I can show love to them without them taking it the wrong way. And I know that they're some of the most stubborn people I've ever met. So they're going to find ways to justify their actions. But I just want to know if there's anything I can even do at this point.
Yeah, I would say find ways to hang out with them and show love to them that don't feed into the lifestyles that they're living. So invite them to, go do things. Say, hey, let's go to a movie together one night, or hey, let's go to putt-putt, or we were just talking about airsoft. Let's go play airsoft. Find things. There's a lot of fun things to do that don't have to show that you approve of their actions, but you can still show love to them and be friends with them.
Yeah.
And then what I would do is just be there for them. And when the time comes, and when you don't try to interject the truth into an inopportune time. Jesus was masterful in that he always knew the right time to interject truth into people's lives. With the woman at the well, with the prostitute, with Zacchaeus, with all these people, you didn't see the first thing that he said to them was, hey, you know what, your lifestyle is pretty messed up, you got to change. Instead, he waited for the right moment when he saw that their hearts were open for the truth. So I'd say spend time with them, enjoy their company, hopefully rekindle a relationship, and then wait wait for the right opportunity, the right moment, the window to be open. And when that window's open, you'll know it. Either they'll ask a question, they'll say something, or you'll just be able to get back to a place where you have an open door into their lives where you can say something at any time, and it won't be perceived as offensive. So I think that you really just got to wait for that right opportunity, that right moment, but find ways to spend time with them that don't feed into their lifestyles that aren't pleasing to the Lord.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I know it can be tough, especially in to the 20s. We were actually talking about this earlier, the idea that sadly late teens, early 20s, people are leaving the church in droves. And Nancy Piercy just wrote this book, and she was talking about that very thing and how youth groups kind of focus in on the experience and the emotions of the teen and don't really hone in on the hard truth. So when they are confronted with real life questions, they kind of don't have an answer for that. So I would also encourage you to remain diligent in studying God's word. And man, whether it's the Is God Dead debate series or Theology Thursday or Shock Therapy Live or different resources you can continue to grow in to keep your mind focused so that you can provide answers when inevitably questions are going to come because they're going to have so many questions. People, I walked that path myself. I know a lot of us, we have those times in our lives where we're just questioning everything, and it wasn't those that couldn't answer that were super helpful. It was when somebody gave us a genuine, truthful answer that adhered to the Word of God, because God's Word has a lot to say about everything, and so he sure isn't going to let you down with those answers. So I would just remind you, man, just remain diligent in that study, focus, and another thing, you know, along with what we're doing here at Calvary Albuquerque in the series Jesus Loves People, just remember that they are human beings that Jesus died for. Jesus loves them very, very much. I remember when I gave my life to Christ and I was looking around me at my friends who weren't walking or who were walking away, and unfortunately, I made the mistake of nixing them entirely from my life and saying, well, you guys are going bowling tonight and there's beer at the bowling alley. Yeah. I can't be at this bowling alley. Still take a stand for your convictions. Don't compromise your convictions. But be very clear about what those convictions are, even having a conversation with them ahead of time. Hey, guys, if you're going to be off doing A, B, or C, chances are not something I'm into, but I love you. You're my friends. I want to spend time with you. Can we do this or this instead? Provide an alternative because...
Or you know, another good thing to do would be to say, hey, let's play Ultimate Frisbee or let's play football after church. Let's all go to church together. Because these guys are, at least they claim to be Christians. You said a lot of them wouldn't say they're walking away. So say, hey, let's go to church together and then afterwards let's go eat food and go play football or play Frisbee or do something.
Yeah.
And you can structure... You know, your hangout times like that so that you can try to hopefully speak into their lives without having to you yourself speak into their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Does that help you out, man?
All right, yeah. One other thing, I guess, is that they're sort of, you know, obviously they're at this stage where they're really rebellious. I think just about all of them are living away from home, and I think only one of them is actually old enough to. So there's just a lot of rebellion towards, like, their parents and towards a lot of the people from the church that we're from. So is there, like, I don't know, is there any way that I can, like, talk their parents or the leadership up or something like that?
Well, this is the thing. If they're rebellious to their parents and you talk to their parents, it's not going to make it better for you or for their parents.
Right. Yeah. Right.
They're just all of a sudden going to say, oh, great, now I don't like my parents and you.
Right.
So that's not going to be helpful for you to go talk to their parents. I think, you know, when the door is open for you to talk to them about the relationship with their parents, that's a better route. And say, look, whether or not you agree with some of the things your parents do or maybe the rules your parents have put on you, they're your parents and you need to love them and honor them. But that should be a conversation you have with them, not with their parents.
Yeah.
Okay.
And question of, you know, the authority, quote unquote, that they're rebellious against, is it church in general or is it seemingly like you're saying, you know, I have a lot of friends who went to this church and who are now walking away. Would they say that they're walking away from the Lord or walking away specifically from, like, a situation or from a specific church?
I'd say it's probably more the specific church, but they haven't done anything to try and go to a different church or to try and pursue their relationship with God anymore.
Right.
So it sort of just walked away and then you know, you wouldn't be able to tell whether they're Christians or not anymore after that.
Right. Okay. All right, man. I wanted to clarify that because it did sound like they were specifically walking away from a church, and I wasn't sure if there was a situation or something that happened specifically there where there was a hurt, because the church isn't infallible, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, sometimes when you see a steady flow of people walking away from something, yeah, you might want to take a look at that as well. But
right.
just wanted to throw that out there. So, mm-hmm. all right, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hopefully that helps, yeah.
Hey, Caleb.
Yeah.
Another thing you can do is listen to Dance by Planet Shakers all day long.
Stop it.
Oh, my goodness.
He posted that this morning on our Facebook. There you
Thanks,
go.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man.
All right,
later. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Maybe you don't have a question. Maybe you just have some encouragement. Maybe you've been through the situations that you're hearing on Shock Therapy Live, and you'd like to provide some
commentary.
Yeah, absolutely. Phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. It's Shock Therapy Live. Pastor Nate Heitzig, Steve Oteo, we're here hanging out with you as well. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hi, it's Janae.
Hey!
I'm like your one consistent listener.
Just hey, thanks, bro. We're hoping my mom listens too, so that's a solid
nice.
Two. Yeah, solid two every week.
That was like that was like a like a like a yeah, a praise diss.
Yeah.
Praise diss.
You married
it's a opposite thesis too.
There you go. There you go.
Well, I just calling this back to the guy who just called in.
He
called him Creepy, which was so mean.
No, that's what
that's
himself.
That's his nickname, Creepy Caleb. He's got a creepy, dark, like, Jaws-like voice.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Just like your Jammin' Janae.
Janae.
Oh, right.
Or Jazzercise Janae. You've been called that as well.
We'll say Jog and Janae or something like that.
Have we ever realized that you guys have the perfect couple name? Has anybody ever called you Janate?
No. Oh, wow.
I just realized I'm making t-shirts.
I call Janae Janator sometimes.
Janate.
Man, come on. It's like, you know.
Janator the hater.
I think that's great. Brangelina, they have it. Now Janate. I mean, that just works.
Mm. Janathan. How about Janathan?
Janathan.
That sounds like a.
That got worse.
I could also be a girl from the hood. A really big, heavy-set girl from the hood.
Janathan. Amazing.
Yo, my name's Janathan.
Oh, I'm sorry. I totally got us off track. Janae, you wanted to offer encouragement
geez.
To the... Go ahead, Janae-nay.
Janae-nay?
That's normal, actually. I get called that all the time. So that's okay.
And woman.
Oh, my gosh.
She gets called woman
in
a lot.
In the most endearing way, of course.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Always. Yeah, I'm not going to make a domestic violence joke.
Don't you do it. Gosh, Nate. I'll turn his mic off, Janae. You go.
Right?
One more thing.
Basically, I was just that kid, I guess. I was partly that child, the one who was like, I'm not falling away from God, but totally living in sin and in rebellion. And I had friends who were not saved and lived that lifestyle, but I also had friends who didn't live that lifestyle and were saved. And I think for him, in this instance, the best thing he can do is, like Nate and you said, is be present and be there for them with the most unjudgmental way possible. I don't even think I would necessarily discuss their sin. I wouldn't discuss their lifestyle. I would just talk to them on the things that you guys find common, whether that's a sport or a hobby or whatever it is, and be present and be that light. Like you can speak into somebody's life just by being the example that you are.
Yeah.
And being the light and not showing judgment. And that's in more than just communication with your words, it's also body language. So if you sit there and you're making, you know, faces at your friend like you're an idiot,
right,
then they're going to feel that, and it's going to be like, dude, I want to hang out with you. All you do is judge me.
What about making funny faces at your friend while they're talking to you?
Yeah, that is so off topic. Sure, if you want to make a silly face in high school, it's probably so not cool. So, Nate, you're not cool.
Janae, we just want to put this out there. We love you because we have to deal with him for 1 hour a week, and I just can't imagine your life.
Well, one day I will go in there, and we can all have a lot of fun.
I can't rein him in ever. He's a wild man, Janae. He's a wild man. Amazing.
So,
thank you so much for the call.
That's what I would I would say.
Yeah.
Dude, that's good. So be available, be open, but don't be overly preachy or pushy.
Mm. Yeah, and I wouldn't even really bring up, you know, God in the sense of, like, rebuke. It would just be like, you know, Jesus loves you, I love you, man. Kind of, like, nonchalant, so they know, like, you're cool, you know where we stand. You know where I stand just because you're the light. You're not going to compromise in any way. If they said, if you guys were all out playing basketball, then they're like, hey, let's go grab a few brewskis or whatever they call them today. You would be like, dude, no thanks. Like, not me. But it was fun playing basketball.
Janae, they haven't called them brewskis since 1987. So it works.
That's
there
back
you go.
When I drank them, right?
Right?
No, I was like
the,
10.
The correct term.
How old is Janae?
The correct term is crazy juices.
Crazy juices. There you
hey,
go.
Hey, let's go get some crazy juices.
Wow, amazing. Janae, thanks so much for calling.
Sure.
Or they call it funny fizzly.
Oh, man.
Let's go get some funny fizzly.
505-338-3700, the phone number. It is amazing how the Lord can orchestrate opportunities for you. Because I know there's some going, wait, no. Because if you just tell them that you love them, you're condoning their sin and you're accepting their lifestyle or whatever it is they're going through. But I find that if you are truly a walking example of Jesus, there are always opportunities. There are always going to be an open door to have that conversation without being pushy. Because we all have that friend who overtly Jesus jukes everything and it's not genuine and you're going, ugh, like you just don't even want to hang out with them. But the Lord will always provide genuine opportunities to be able to speak into the life of
a friend. Well, and it's been so cool. That's been one thing that people have constantly said about USSR space program is that we are real while being authentic with people. You know, we can be really real. I'm sorry. I'm really trying
it's
to
wonderful.
Make that stick.
I love it. I love it.
Gosh,
it sticks to me like gravity.
Shock Therapy Live.
It's
it is
so
not
good.
Called the
USSR space program.
I'm with him.
We launched monkeys into space.
That's true. It's like a black hole, if you will, of advice. USSR space program.
Why are you
USSR? USSR space program. We don't have enough money to compete with the other space programs. We have just enough to do something.
I've realized I today will be the living example of how to remain friends with somebody without compromising because it's called Shock Therapy Live.
And I'm going to spank your bottom.
Yep, and I like job security.
Phone
so USSR space program.
338-3700.
No, but on a serious note.
Yeah.
So it's been so cool with our show
in
that people have constantly said that they love listening to us because even though we give tough advice, we do it in a very real way that a lot of people say, man, I've never heard Christians talk as real or as fun or be as funny as you guys.
Yeah.
And so it's been fun with this show because I think that's kind of the model that we want to have is you can still be a real person, still be a fun person while still giving truth and authenticity into people's lives.
And that's it. I think if you grew up in the church, you had that experience, or at least a youth pastor, where if you needed help or you needed advice, sadly, a lot of times you could probably tell what your youth pastor was going to say before they said it because it wasn't genuine, because it was kind of the Jesus juke answer, the non-genuine, like, you just got to let go and let God. And you're like, what does that even mean? How can I practically apply that? Help me, you know? And so I agree. I'm hoping that it helps. I'm hoping that people that are calling in are actually growing and that we can continue to use this because, well, that's what we're here for. Phone lines are jamming up.
We actually have a song we can have for USSR space program now. Better than Supermassive Black Hole by Muse.
We can do
the Beatles back in the USSR.
Oh, man.
And we can have that be our, like, think about that, those lyrics coming on the media. Hey, you're listening to USSR space program. launch monkeys into space.
This is never
going
to stick.
And then we get a recording of Steve-O going, no.
Shock Therapy Live. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Let me ask you something. What's the name of our show?
Shock Therapy Live?
Thank you.
Wrong.
Thank you.
USSR space program.
No.
Yep.
I think you're dating yourself.
You know, and that's another issue entirely.
That's for another day.
Shock Therapy Live.
I'm vintage.
So what can we do for you?
Okay, so I have a question that a family member asked me, and I had no idea how to answer.
Okay.
This might be Theology Thursday time, but but I'm really anxious to know the answer. So he's questioning Christianity. He comes from literally he's, not. Wait,
what was
Germany.
That? I didn't hear that word. He's questioning what?
Christianity.
I thought you said Christianity, and I was like, I don't know what that is.
Christianity.
It's a new store. Okay, so anyways, he's questioning Christianity, and he asked me about the people when Jesus was born, and Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and the light. What about all the people that haven't heard about Jesus being born yet? How are they saved? Are they not saved?
And why was Jesus? You mean the people before Jesus was born?
No, like when Jesus was born in Bethlehem.
Yes.
Okay, all of a sudden he was born. So does that mean that he now is the only way to heaven? And if so, immediately as he was born, not everybody in the world knows about him, right?
Totally.
So, how he... And I don't know how to...
I hear what you're saying. We've actually had this question a few times on Theology Thursday because people have asked that, wait, what about the guy who, you know, Jesus is 6 months old and, you know, the guy over in Africa dies and didn't know Jesus yet, did he go to hell type question. That's essentially what he's asking.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, I will say, first and foremost, anytime somebody uses a tactic like that, it's completely taking their responsibility away from who they are in Jesus. You know what I mean? Anytime
right.
somebody is saying,
it's diverting.
Absolutely. Yeah. Diverting. What about you? It doesn't matter. You don't really care about that random person in Africa, because if you did, you'd be doing something about the fact that they don't have running water
yeah.
or are dying right now or are starving. You don't care about that person. You're trying to take away the light that is shining on you and your lack of relationship to Jesus.
Yes. And now here's something that I just want to throw into the mix. Because technically we as Christians, it's not enough to just believe that Jesus existed. What saves us is the blood of Christ.
Right.
And so 6 month baby Jesus doesn't save us.
Right.
Jesus on the cross dying for our sins and rising from the dead does.
Yeah.
And there's also a truth in the Bible that each one is judged according to what they know. And there's more than just specific revelation. There is general revelation,
yeah.
which means that there is that guy who is in Africa who can look into the stars and realize that, hey, there is a God just based off what I've seen. There's a God who loves me. And I might not know his name. I might not know that his name is Jesus, but I'm going to love, I'm going to serve, and I'm going to follow him yeah. because I can tell that he exists. And because of that, I was talking to a guy when I was in San Diego, and I was witnessing to this guy, and this guy came and he was talking to me, and he said, man, before anyone ever told me about Jesus or about the Bible, I looked up at the stars and I realized that there had to be a God that created that. There had to be something bigger than me that created that. And I realized that if there was a God bigger than that who created me, that God would desire to have a relationship with me. And that God who desires to have a relationship with me would want me to live my life a certain way in order to please him. And it was just kind of this philosophical conversation. I realized, you know, there is enough in our culture today. I was just at Glorieta. I went outside and looked at the stars. And in the darkness, the stars were just phenomenal, the galaxies in the heavens. And I just went out there and I just came back in. And the only thing that was on my mind was the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. And so even though that person in Africa might not know the name of Jesus, number one, we're not really saved through the name of Jesus until Jesus Christ died and rose again, because that's what saves us. So believing in six-month baby Jesus, that's not salvation. At that point, still up to that point, there was still this ceremonial Jewish law that was sufficient. It wasn't until the blood of Jesus Christ was spilt that his blood became sufficient to cover our sins instead of the Old Testament regulations. But those people who were in those far reaches, they're going to be judged according to what they knew, according to what they had revealed to them, and according to what they did with that knowledge. We can trust that God is a just and a merciful God. And although we might not understand how that's going to work out, we do know that the Bible says they'll be judged according to what they know, and that there is a general revelation. And so however that plays out, we can trust God and trust his sovereignty and trust his justice and his mercy within that.
Absolutely. And to your family member, that I immediately thought of Luke chapter 12. Jesus talks of the parable of the master, you know, basically waiting for the master to return. And this family member obviously knows the words that Jesus spoke, obviously knows who Jesus is. And I would just encourage you to go back and read Luke chapter 12. Starting in verse 35 onto verse 48 talks about the master and the master's will, and to the one that knows the master's will and chooses not to do it, that dude's going to be beaten with many stripes. If you don't know the master's will, you will receive a light beating, basically. But to the one who knew the will of the master and chooses not to do anything about it will receive a severe beating. So it goes on to say, everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. This family member sounds like they have a working knowledge. They have an understanding of who Jesus is. And so you've got to ask them what they do in turn with that knowledge, not what the random person who's never heard the name of Jesus in Africa does without that knowledge. But he obviously knows John chapter 14. And therefore, since he does, what is his response to that? And I would challenge him, bring it back personally to him, because obviously, as we said, he has an understanding of what that is.
Right. Thanks so much. He asked these questions because I think he's trying to catch me or something like that. He was raised in a very Catholic society, and he has all these laws in his head. And I want to tell him it doesn't really matter, but I didn't know how to say that. And so I really appreciate all your words, and I will try to take it back to Scripture and challenge him through that.
Right on.
Yeah, a couple of good verses for you, too, about God revealing himself is Romans 1:20 and Ecclesiastes 3:11 are two good verses for you to look at on your own in relation to how God reveals himself through nature and through the hearts of man.
Okay. Yeah, I was using, like, Psalms 19, I think.
Yeah. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. I mean, we're Star 88, basically, that megaphone, you know, proclaiming the glory of the Lord as the stars do night after night. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thanks,
guys. Right on. Thank you. All right, phone lines are open. It is Shock Therapy Live. 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. You can also chime in on Facebook, facebook.com/star88. Or, looks like we got an email, studio@star88.fm.
Hi, guys. My husband and I both grew up in quote-unquote broken homes, everything from abuse to drugs and alcohol. However, we are determined to give ourselves and our daughters a better life with the help of our Lord. Recently, we have been really struggling with anxiety, depression, and anger, both of them, the mom and the dad. My question is, what advice can you give us? I know we have lots of work ahead, but are there any encouraging, inspiring books, scripture, or just advice as a pastor that you could give us? Anything at all would really help.
Man.
So explain their story to me one more time again.
They grew up in broken homes, but they want their home to be different for their children. But they're kind of
so they don't have a broken home. It's not like mom and dad are divorced, but they still want to.
They're
give
determined
their kids a good life.
To make their home unbroken and it be a good place. But they just kind of need help getting off the ground.
Dealing
with
anxiety, depression.
Yeah. Okay. There's a couple good books. There's one. James Dobson has a few great books on parenting and on just more or less a family unit, how to have a good family unit, and I would really recommend you read some of those and go through those on how to structure your family, how to have a healthy family unit. Now, it sounds to me like there's a couple things going on here. It sounds like, one, you don't want to make sure your family isn't broken, but two, it sounds like you're struggling with depression and, you know, anxiety and some other things, which really I would kind of equate those and separate those two things into two separate topics. When it comes to raising your family and to making sure that you don't have a broken family, I think there's a few good things that you can really make sure to do to keep your family good. Number one, I think it's very important to let your kids know and let your spouse know that you love your spouse more than you love your kids. And in a different way, I always make sure to tell Seth, Seth, do you know how much I love your mommy? Do you know how meaningful your mommy is to me? And I think a lot of times when we have kids, it can become all about the kids and the relationship can kind of go to pot to the point that even some couples say, well, the only reason we're together is for the kids. I think you've got to keep a love for one another forefront. Even secondary at times to the children. So, you know, there's times when I'll get back from a trip and I haven't seen my kids in, you know, a week, but I recognize that I also haven't seen my wife in a week. And I recognize that if I don't pour into my wife for a time and take my wife on a date away from the kids, as much as the kids need to see me, my wife needs to see me too. And, you know, so I think that you really gotta, to make sure that your kids know that, to make sure that your kids know that you have your spouse's back, that you love your spouse, that you would do anything for your spouse, that you still love them, but that you love them in a different way.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's really important to do, to cultivate that strong family relationship, because what kids thrive off of more than anything is knowing there's a stability between you and your wife. And this is the truth. I'm just going to say this. It's really easy to love your kids. You don't have to work to love your kids. Naturally, when you have children, you just naturally love them.
Yeah.
And that's not something you have to cultivate. No matter what happens, what they do to you, parents kind of always love their kids. It's different with a spouse. You have to cultivate a love for a spouse. You have to cultivate the love in that relationship. And so I would spend the majority of your energy letting your spouse know that you love them in front of your kids instead of trying to spend your energy letting your kids know that you love them. Mm-hmm. You naturally love your kids. You don't have to work to do that. But if you put your energy into trying to love your spouse better, your kids are going to see that, and that's going to make them more secure in your love for them. It's going to make them more secure in where they're at in their place in life, and it's going to give them a better childhood. So spend your energy loving your spouse. And then I would recommend you reading some of those James Dobson books. I think that'd be really helpful for you. And then did you find any of those books?
Well, I found this week, actually, I was reading a fantastic article from Relevant Magazine, and they put up a great article called Kids Aren't the Priority, Marriage Is.
That's good.
How to keep your marriage healthy after having kids. Because let's be honest, in the first few years of your children's life, those are hectic, crazy parenting years. They require a lot of attention. There is a lot that goes into that, but you cannot negate your spouse, because yeah, once it becomes a season where you just kind of give up and say, well, right now we're going to put the marriage on hold because we got to feed the baby and we got to make sure that these things are, once the marriage is not a priority, then things are out of whack.
Yep.
And so a great article I would recommend, relevantmagazine.com, Kids Aren't the Priority, Marriage Is. Is fantastic.
How do you take the baby back to the store?
Did you keep the receipt?
No.
Oh, dude, you are hosed.
Does it depend on the store?
Well, yeah, this is the thing. You can't take the tag off. Once you've taken the tag off.
Yeah, dude.
Say you found a way to remove the tag, but you've got the receipt. Maybe what happens?
Oh, man.
It depends how much use there is.
Yeah. Gotcha. So here's the thing.
If it has poop stains,
it never stops.
Out of
getting into a point in the article, there's a subheader, serve your spouse, not just your kids. And that's exactly what you were talking about. And it says, you know, before your children, it was easy to care for your spouse. It wasn't as much hard work. Whether it's juggling time or whatever it is, stop at the store, pick up their favorite cereal, do something sweet for them, to refill the gas tank in the car before it goes out. You know, you're just constantly thinking. And now it's like, okay, I got to pick up diapers. I got to make sure I get Jack to Little League on time. What do we have today? What's our schedule like? It gets insane. And so if you don't make that extra time for date night, for just time alone with your spouse.
And I can tell when that's happening. I can tell when my wife is, and honestly, I really think that the man is the one who needs to be responsible for this. I'm a firm believer that a man is the initiator in the relationship. In every area of the relationship, romantically, the man should be the initiator. Spiritually, the man should be the initiator. When it comes to finances and being a breadwinner, I believe the man should be the initiator. I believe that's God's place for the man to be the head of the house. And so I view it as my job to be able to tell when my wife is level and to be able to tell when my wife is frazzled, and I say, we need to do a date night tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to find a babysitter. We're going to go take a date night.
Yeah.
And so I think it comes down to the man to be able to distinguish and know when you need to get away from the kids.
Yeah.
And my wife, there's times when my wife will say, well, I can't, you know, Katie or Seth needs this, and I'll say, they can wait. They can wait till tomorrow. They'll be fine if to wait till tomorrow. But you need to get out of the house right now.
You know, and the, I think that lends to the question that they asked. Look, we're trying to keep our home solid. We want a solid foundation for our children. But there is a lot of anxiety and depression because, dude, marriage is hard work.
Yeah.
Parenting is hard work. And there can be stress, anxiety, if you don't have those outlets, if you don't make time for date night, if you don't get away every once in a while, you will go crazy.
And but I think that's what happens. I think parents who grew up in a broken home leave that relationship and they say, man, it was really tough as a child to be right in that relationship.
Right.
And so once they have kids, they put all their energy focusing on, I want my kids to have a better life than right I had. My kids to have a better upbringing than I had. And again, they're losing sight of what makes a marriage and a family work. Focus on your spouse.
Amen.
You know, if you focus on your spouse, your kids will have a better upbringing.
I am so
guilty. Your kids will
of
have,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, product of that. You know, yeah. Single mom, and that's exactly it. Always wanting the best for my children because I want to give them what I never had. And in that, being an incredible father means loving my wife.
Exactly.
Means doting on her, and means so, pouring out on
so
her.
So what happens is a lot of families who grew up in a broken home will start a family together, and then they'll spend all their energy trying to do everything for their kids, mm-hmm. and then they'll end up getting a divorce because the spouse doesn't feel loved.
Right.
The spouse all of a sudden feels that the kids are a competition.
Yep.
And that's why, you know, parents can end up resenting their kids even because the kids feel like a competition, you know, to their spouse. And yeah. And so if you really want to love your kids well, learn how to love your spouse better.
Yeah, amen. And to give you just one simple verse that has always stuck with me, is the fact that this is a truth of God. We are not given to a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And I know anxiety can come, depression can come, exhaustion as a husband and as a parent. I can tell you, I'm tired a lot of the times.
Yeah.
Getting a good night's sleep is something easy, is something basic, something that you need, because sleep deprivation can lead to that anxiety, can lead to that depression, can lead to feeling overwhelmed and going, okay, now I gotta plan date night. I gotta make sure. Don't overcomplicate it. Love your spouse.
Yeah.
I think it really does come down to a simple basic truth of that. You love your spouse. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You are to be self-sacrificing. You are to give of your time. You're to give of your life to your spouse. It doesn't say love your kids as Christ loved the church.
And then I think learn what makes you happy and learn what makes you depressed. Mm-hmm. I know for me, you know, we live in a day and age where a lot of families want to sit together inside and just watch TV all the time. For me, I get really, really depressed if I stay inside all day long.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things to do with my family, all together with the kids and my wife, is go on a walk in the bosque. We'll get the dog. We'll all take a long 2-hour walk in the bosque. And that's so much fun. The kids love it. Seth loves it, running around picking stuff up. Janae and I love it because, well, the kids are running around having fun. We can hold each other's hands and just walk. And that's, you know, learn things that you can do together as a family outside of the house. Because I think there really is something. You get stir crazy being in the house. You don't have to spend money. You can go to the park. You can go on a walk. You can go do things without spending money. But find ways, you know, to cultivate that family life relationship.
Also accountability. I think of, you know, one of my dear friends, Steven, who constantly is like, hey, man, date night? We're, you know, challenging each other. If you have a good another married couple friends around you that can either, you know, kind of not keep you accountable to where it becomes like another stress in your life, but just to encourage you, find those marriages around you that, hey man, I want to look like that, I want to be like that.
That's good.
Find a group. Okay, maybe you're not in a connect group. Maybe you need to get involved if your church has a community group or a connect group or some form of small group. Get involved with other young parents and see how they juggle those things, how they handle that, because it's so vitally important. Because then you realize you're not alone.
Yeah. Here's a website for you. It's drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. And on there, he's got his resources, his books, and he's got parenting books and marriage books. He's got two separate categories. And I would, you know, peruse through there and find some that strike you as something you need, and those can be some great resources.
There you go. All right. Phone lines are open. It is Shock Therapy Live. 505-338-3700 to chime in. Hello. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Joelle.
How's it going?
Oh, it's good. Joelle the nanny, everyone.
Mm. Hello.
What's up?
Okay, well, first off, gotta say I love the station. Love what you guys are doing.
Thanks.
Awesome. How do you like USSR space program?
It's wonderful, Nate. I love it so much.
Good.
Okay, so good. Fabulous. Okay, so my question is, well, it's not really a question, but this summer I'm actually getting ready to go work at a Christian camp, so I'm, like, trying to get my heart in the right place and just seek the Lord. And in my seeking of Him, I've kind of noticed things in myself. Two main things I've noticed is, like, frustration and bitterness. And I'm kind of like, I don't really know how to just give it to God. That's what I'm really struggling with. And I know it's really hindering my my growth and my preparation and getting ready to go serve the Lord.
I'll tell you this. I worked at a camp in college, and a lot of times you want to get rid. I think we have to kind of put on our happy face and all this stuff. And I'm not telling you not to deal with it, but you don't have to get rid of all these things that make you a real person. You don't have to throw them up. You don't have to, or throw them out. You don't have to cover them up, because in relating to people, the negative things about us are what make us relatable. So you probably are still dealing with those things, because you're going to encounter people that deal with bitterness and deal with anger, deal with frustration. And you're going to be able to relate to those people in a way that somebody that's totally happy and doesn't deal with that crap would never be able to. Mm. But what you have to do in giving it to God is not expect to get rid of it, but expect Him to use it in a way to relate to a person.
Hmm. Yeah, and I would say this. What you're asking for, the answer is sanctification. And unfortunately, there isn't a 2-month process to be sanctified. You know, it's a lifelong process. Yeah. And so every person will have a few of those things that they're going to struggle with. And I think part of the Christian walk is always realizing another part of yourself you need to give over to God. Yeah. But the way to do that isn't like, okay, if I read this book, all of a sudden I won't be frustrated anymore. Right. Or if I read these verses, I won't be bitter anymore. What you're really asking is, how can I be sanctified quick? And you can't is the answer to that. Sanctification is a process that takes a long time. And so I think what you're doing is exactly what you need to do to give over those things to God, be reading the Bible, be seeking the face of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And what you'll find is through doing that over the course of your life, you'll see those things, those areas, those inconsistencies, you'll see those begin to be given over to God. And although you might feel that way sometimes, you'll see the outworkings of those behaviors diminishing, and you'll see a relationship with God begin to flourish. And so really what it is sanctification, and the way to go about it is exactly what you're doing. I wish there was a 1-2-3 process to get rid of those things in our lives, but there isn't. It really is sanctification and that persistent running the race with God and trusting that He's going to refine you over time.
Now, a question for you, Joelle. Is there some area of your life in particular that you're like, dude, I want to focus in on that. I really want to conquer this fear of whatever or anxiety or whatever's going on. Is there one specific thing that you're working at?
I think specifically it's timidity, because I'm a very shy, kind of timid person. And I know that this summer I'm going to need to be more open and more bold. And so that's kind of what I'm focusing on.
I seriously thought you said humidity, and I'm like, well, we live in the desert, so timidity, okay, overcoming timidity.
You know, again, I think that's something that there's certain times where you want to overcome that, but again, I think that's something God can use, because no doubt when you're there, you're going to be ministering to some kids who are very timid as well, and those timid kids aren't going to be drawn to the crazy camp counselor who's like, hey, guys, let's go play in the mud.
Yeah!
Yeah!
I'm at an 11
Those kids aren't going to be drawn to that crazy, outspoken person. They're going to be drawn to the person that they feel like is similar to them. And so you having a bit of timidity isn't a bad thing. God can use that and draw kids to you who won't get drawn to the crazy, outgoing camp counselor. You know, there's going to be people that will be drawn to Steve-O that wouldn't be drawn to you, and there's people who would be drawn to you that wouldn't be drawn to Steve-O.
Right.
You know, two different personalities.
Two extremes.
Neither one is bad, but each personality can reach a different group of people.
Absolutely.
So I think you learn those times to overcome timidity, and you learn those times to embrace it. So, you know, there's those times when you have that spirit of fear to go witness to somebody. You say, you know what, I'm scared to go do this, but I'm going to overcome that fear because I know this is what God wants me to do. But having a personality that is more of a withdrawn personality isn't a bad thing.
Yeah.
I think you need to learn the times to embrace that and the times to overcome that.
I hope that helps.
Yes, it did.
Awesome.
Right on. Thanks, Joelle.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
505-338-3700, the phone number. I think we got time for one more phone call. Phone line's been jammed.
Dude, it's been good. Hey, this is USSR Space Program. What's going on?
Pew, pew.
Hey, yo, I'm in space.
Oh, man.
Nice.
Hey, no, but I got to do you,
is this. Is this Giggles the monkey?
Giggles the monkey?
You guys are killing me.
I'm not just a monkey. I'm a chimpanzee.
Oh, man.
All right.
You got to get that
so
right.
So what's going on, Pansy?
You know what, champ?
Who is
this? Just watch it.
Who is this?
This is Pool Boy.
Pool Boy.
What's up, man?
No, I just wanted to comment on Mateo, what he said, man, which is true. You can't, if you struggle and you're trying to get rid of something like that, yeah, I understand, like drug use, alcoholism, yeah, that's stuff you get rid of.
Right.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
Yeah, but the way you are, your personality, and just if you're gonna just run into wall after wall after wall, and you're going to start getting frustrated, and the bitterness will continue to stay there.
Yeah.
And maybe you know what maybe, I mean? Yeah.
Hey, Pool, but let me ask you this. I've got this body that I need to get rid of. How do
oh
I do
my
that?
Gosh!
Okay, check it out. CrossFit. First, what you got to do is you got to be real late, 2 a.m. at least, or 3 a.m., as Eminem would say. And,
okay. And hey, you know what? I'm gonna give you a private call later on to get the answer to that question.
This is insane.
No, check it out though.
Okay,
I've got this chimpanzee. It's a chimpanzee that I gotta get rid of. So
get out.
Okay, they're almost human, so it's the same thing.
Thank you, Charles Darwin.
Oh man, dude, Pool Boy, we love you. Thanks so much for calling in.
Yeah, but yeah, Mateo, dude, that was right on. That struck me, man. What you said. Yeah,
well, we've talked about it before. I used to. There's a guy in Nashville that's like a counselor for touring band members, and Dawn and I used to go see him all the time. And I've said this before, so if you've listened before, you've heard this. I'm gonna say it again, because there's new people. So we approach our personality issues and our problems. A lot of times we approach them like an owner's manual to a car.
Yeah.
And we're like, hey, this part's broken. I need to fix this part. I'll just take this out and replace it, and it'll get fixed. And people and our personalities and emotions, we're not so much cars as we are gardens, and weeds get in the garden. And you'll spend the rest of your life weeding a garden. You'll never fix weeds in a garden.
Right.
That's how we are. And the joy of grace in Christ is that these weeds that spring up in our life, he doesn't only like help us, you know, I guess, quote, get rid of them, but he uses them to help other people.
And cultivating the good areas.
And bring
of the
glory.
Yeah.
And if
dude,
we run
I
around,
hate weeds.
Yes, I know you do. And that's why I wanted to tell this example. if we run around just trying to quick fix everything, it's just like you said, that bitterness isn't going to go away.
Yeah.
It's going to spring up in a different way, like a weed would.
Yeah.
And so we just have to remember that, not only to other people, but to ourselves. Because I think growing up the way I did, it was constantly like, if I don't fix this right now, God is going to be mad at me.
Right.
You know, and that's not the way God works, thankfully.
Yeah.
Dude, I wonder if there's a correlation to how people deal with problems to how they weed a garden. Because, like, there's those people who love taking time and pulling every single weed, and I think those are probably the people who work through problems in a very healthy manner.
That's my wife.
And then there's those people like me.
Who, weed killer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Spray everything.
Spray
and if
everything.
If the plants get killed while you're spraying those weeds,
take
it's just
everything.
A byproduct of the product. You know what I mean? It's just collateral damage.
It's a huge example. It's
not a big
deal.
A
lot of stuff
it
on
really
many
does.
Levels.
Pool Boy, thanks for calling, man.
All right, put the body in the garden.
There you go.
Oh.
Next week on USS Enterprise, whatever.
No, USSR.
We're going to talk about fertilizer.
Oh, man, you guys, amazing. Sadly, we are just about out of show, but
welcome
thanks
to everyone. Welcome to the USSR space program.
Thanks, everybody, who's been a part of the space program.
Where we launch chimpanzees into space.
Thank you, Arnold. It's nice to have you.
Right, that wasn't Russian.
He's Austrian.
Someone do Russian. What's Russian sound like?
Mulsan Squall.
Mulsan Squall.
You like USSR space program.
I am Russian. I am Russian mob.
Is it bad that...
This is USSR space program.
Since I was a kid, if I've ever tried to do a Russian accent, I have gone to Rocky and Bullwinkle.
This is...
And the enemies.
But at least you got it right. You totally got that right. Squirrel. Arnold over here... That's Austria. Totally different.
This
country.
Is USSR space program Russian radio.
Where'd you say it?
You have tuned into USSR space program
Austria.
Russian radio.
If you do, good day, mate.
If you do not like our space program radio, we will launch you into space with the monkeys.
If you missed any part of Shock Therapy Live, some of it was actually informative. So you can download the podcast at star88.fm/shocktherapylive. That's star88.fm. Great new website.
Every time you say
support.
Shock Therapy Live, I'm going to flick your...
ear? You can't. I got headphones on. Don't
your chest
pinch me.
Area.
I just see where you're looking, and I'm cowering, and I'm going to run away now. That's
Have you ever heard of a limpy?
What?
This is when I take my finger like this.
You and Kenny Riley, I'm running away. Drastic measures. It's been fun. If you missed any part of the show, download the podcast. Star88.fm. Until next week on the USSR space program.
Yes!
What? Oh,
he
man.
Said it.
You did it.
I did. Well, we got some House of Heroes on the way, and our friend Birga actually filling in for Mitch today. Mitch not feeling well. Pray
nice.
For her. She is at home.
To Birga filling in. Not nice to Mitch.
Nice.
Birga speaks German.
She really does.
She does.
So, yeah.
We should have her do a whole show one day in German.
Oh, man. That would be awesome.
It'd be so much
fun. That would
be terrible. No, it wouldn't.
It'd be fantastic.
If you're just tuning in and you didn't have a chance to get a question, and please send it in. Throughout the week, we will take your email, studio@star88.fm.
Yeah.
If I could speak German, I always would. And when people would say, I can't understand what you're saying, I'd say in German, that's your fault for not speaking German.
Wow.
All right.
And then I'd walk away.
And then you'd say, Dankeschön, and you'd walk away.
No, I wouldn't say Dankeschön.
Bastard,
I'd like kick him in the shin.
I don't have exit music. I need to get some so that you guys
back
stop talking.
You need to get back in the USSR.
Maybe next week. Okay. We'll see what happens. All right. On the way next, that House of Heroes has promised. It's Shock Therapy Live.
Goodbye.
No, USSR space program.